Sean Rickman on the drums, and that was recorded January 2016. And our past master classic recording was John Coltrane's Interstellar Space, which was recorded February 22nd, 1967, so a little over 50 years ago, although I don't think it was released until 72 or 73. We heard Mars, John Coltrane on tenor sax, and Bells, Rashid Ali on drums. All right, it's just about time for me to go. It's time for Post-It Wall with Ishwarya. She's here with the latest victim. She's getting them, you know, trussed up on the rack, and we'll be interrogating him shortly. His name is JJ. Be nice. All right, you're listening to WMBR Cambridge. First, this important word.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Right. Good evening, everyone. This is Aishwarya signing on yet again from WMBR Cambridge, back for this week's episode of Post-It Wall. So just like every week, I'm here this week to remind you to open your mind to the tales of courage, resilience, passion, wisdom, and character all around you. And just let them inspire you. Don't let them dissolve into the sea of stories that go untold. So this week, we have yet another colorful note to hang on our wall. I first heard pieces of the story my guest this week has to tell nearly 2 years ago when we met on a trip to South Africa. As we hiked mountains, petted lion cubs, and just drew in the beauty of the physical and cultural landscape that surrounded us, we also exchanged our beliefs, our dreams, and our fears. So my guest today, who you all know is JJ, is a talented material scientist who graduated from MIT in 2015 with me and works right here in Cambridge. But more importantly, he's a kind, fun-loving, and caring individual. And above all, an incredible friend with an incredible journey to share. So before I let him do any of the talking, I have to begin with the show's most infamous question. So, JJ, if you could leave behind one bit of advice for me, for all our listeners, for the rest of the world, what would it be?
Well, gosh, that's a that's kind of the question, isn't it? I think that's kind of what we're all trying to do, in a sense. Because we're all going to leave a legacy at one point or another. We're all going to impact some people. So I think the bit of advice is that we're all going to leave a legacy. Regardless of what we do, someone will remember us. Mm-hmm. So the way in which we interact with them, for instance, if we do something small, like, you know, hold open the door for them, or, you know, decide to take an evening to come on a radio show, or decide to just mentor someone because they're trying to learn more about materials and 3D printing, which is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I would say. It's that by the time we go, someone will remember us. So how do you want to be remembered?
That's amazing. That's a piece of advice I haven't yet heard on the show, and that's incredible. So I want to ask you, how does knowing that or thinking about that shape your life every day? How does that affect the decisions you make or how you choose to interact with other people?
It's an interesting thing. So for me, a little background of why I even think that way is, so when I was younger, so I'm Peruvian. I was born in Peru and immigrated to the U.S. I was really fortunate. My whole family was. And this happened while I was like 6 years old. So that kind of comes back to me every now and then when I get to visit Peru, visit my extended family, and just remember that I'm so fortunate in life, because sometimes you're just given circumstances that you didn't earn or deserve. But then, of course, you know, you work your way on. You end up, you know, deserving your job, or your school, or things like that. So that's how it even sprouted to me. It's like, oh, right. So there are things I have that some other people don't. There's things I've earned that other people haven't. So it's like just sharing the goodness. Gosh, I totally forgot the question. What was the question again?
I meant knowing this, that we all leave a legacy behind, and that's how we should think about how people are going to remember us. How does that sort of affect what you choose to do every day and how you choose to go about your day?
Oh, yes, totally. So it was that background that just like leads me to remember that everyone comes from some circumstances, some things they can't control. And I like to think the best of everyone too. Everyone's trying to learn. Everyone's trying to improve. So it's just trying to help them be whatever they want to be better. That's really how it pragmatically ends up working every day.
I actually want to dig in a little bit to how you open the answer to this question, which is kind of, let's flip back the pages, you know, 24 or 23 years or however old you are, and start at the beginning. So tell us a little bit about where you came from, how you ended up here at MIT, sort of the journey you took to get here, if those are things you want to share, and how that shaped the advice that you just gave us.
Sure. So where I came from my wonderful parents, Alberto and Jenny, both Peruvian, wonderful culture, wonderful people down there. We ended up moving to Lancaster, Pennsylvania in 1999. So Lancaster's a great little town, but it's a little small for me. So when I got the chance, you know, college season came around, I got accepted to MIT. I was like, oh, yeah.
Definitely going.
Boston, great education. I'm there. So I got to MIT. I ended up choosing course three, of course, the best course.
Hey.
Because I liked physics, I liked chemistry, but I also wanted to be an inventor. And materials science and engineering was kind of the way I could see where I could make a difference, make some inventions to change the industry. And so worked my way through that, and then ended up doing an internship my senior spring at a 3D printing startup. And at that point, I wasn't sure kind of what I wanted to do after college, but that changed everything. I was like, oh, wow, there's so much cool, so many cool things to do in this new desktop 3D printing field, because that's when it started booming. 2014, 2015, everyone started hearing about it. Everyone was trying to get into it. And that's how I started. So after college, ended up working for Forum Labs. And I've been there since. I've been there for a little over a year and a half now.
That's awesome. So you just kind of gave me this amazing trajectory, sort of the immigrant story, or children of immigrants as well, living sort of on the life of two cultures, on the brink or the border between two cultures, ended up here at MIT, did super well, now have an amazing job at Form Labs. So I kind of want to ask you, in what do you sort of find the most meaning in life? Like when things aren't going well, for example, what does give you the strength to go on? I'm sure undergrad was full of a lot of those moments.
Of course, undergrad, you know, like the late night PSATs, doing bad on an exam or something like that. I really like to remember what my dad says. So when I was growing up, I'd accompany him a lot, and I still love talking with him. So he likes to say the phrase, será una aventura, which mm-hmm. means it will be an adventure. Mm-hmm. So whenever anything's going bad, whenever you like stub your toe, whenever you get lost, whenever you miss a plane, it's será una aventura. It'll be an adventure. Mm-hmm. So just take the positive side of it. Take the moment to get lost. Enjoy meeting the people you wouldn't meet if you hadn't gotten lost or delayed or things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's such an optimistic attitude to have. And it's really like nice to hear, like reassuring to hear that people have that sort of attitude in our world, especially when there's so much negativity right now. Actually, that brings me to another thing I wanted to bring up, if this is something you're willing to share. I know we've had a lot of conversations about the meaning of faith in our lives. It's something important to me, and I know it's something that's important to you as well, given the family that you grew up with. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about why that's meaningful to you and or what it means to you?
Sure. My whole family is very Christian. My dad's a pastor. And my mom's a pastor wife, which is a job in and of itself.
Yeah. I hear you.
So growing up, very conservative family, mm-hmm. Coming to MIT definitely was like, you know, eye-opening in many ways. And it's very much shaped my life in the, first of all, the optimism that I get from my dad and just like things will always work out. The seeing the good side of people, just assuming that people are always trying to be nice, trying to help each other out. And of course, the last question of like fate, is there fate, is there not? Can you really know? I'd like to think that we all have some sort of higher purpose and that we are all just trying to be the best we can be. So that plays a pretty big role in my optimism, just in general, how I view life and how I opened up with remember, we're all going to be remembered somehow.
I really liked what you said about sort of always trying to see the good in others or always looking at the positive side of the situation. Is that something you sort of always were able to do? Is that something you taught yourself or grew to do? Thoughts on that?
Definitely taught myself. Yeah. Definitely not something you can just start doing.
Wake up one morning.
I had some influence from in my family when I was younger, just believe in people, try and be nice. Try and make a difference. But it was really, I feel like I've developed this a lot more after graduating from MIT.
Really?
So something I like to do is I like to take an hour or 2 hours a week mm-hmm. and honestly think about my mental health. Think about how I think, reflect a little. Something I didn't do as much as an undergrad, but it's really helped me a lot these days. And so it's through that process that I'm like, I can be a little more active and like seeing the bright side of things. You know, someone slams a door in your face. It turns out they weren't trying to be a jerk, but they were like trying to keep one of the dogs in the office from leaving. We have dogs in our office. Mm-hmm. It's, being a little patient, trying to see things that way. Life is a lot easier that way. You end up being a lot happier.
And how do you, those like periods of reflection that you have each week, how do you sort of go about doing that? Do you journal? Do you kind of have a conversation with a friend? How does that work?
It started off really vague, being like, I hear reflection's good. I guess I should do it. Mm-hmm. it started off with me like just writing down, 4 or 5 things that happened in the last week. Mm-hmm. Something simple like that. And now I end up doing it once a month because I found once a week was just a little too often for me. What I do is I end up having some categories in my life. So there's like my family category, which I very, very value very much. Mm-hmm. There's my mental health category, like I was telling you before. I have one for physical health, my exercising, and my going to the doctor, the dentist, things like that.
Right.
And it's going through each of these things and just thinking, how did I do in March? How did I do in April? Did I end up going to that dentist appointment I said I would? And the answer is, yes, I did.
good to know.
So it's like that.
That's awesome. The reason I asked is just because I'm always looking for practical ways to sort of go about the self-reflection. I try to keep a diary. I sort of also try to talk to friends about maybe highs and lows of every week. Mm. But sometimes it's hard to be consistent about that and stick to it each week or even each month. So always looking for tips and tidbits. I'm going to flip the questions around a little bit and ask you, if I had to ask you to share maybe one moment in your life that you might consider a failure, something that just really didn't go as planned or didn't go well at all, what would that be and why do you think so? Or even how did you learn from it?
Something that really ended up wearing me down was the job searching period at the senior year, because I started in the fall. And that was definitely by many means a failure. just to start out with in the fall, because I just had this idea in my mind that if I started applying in the fall, I would definitely get a job by then. Mm-hmm. And some really cool job, like, you know, maybe in the Bay Valley area, you know, great pay, doing great science or engineering, things like that. And that just did not happen at all. Mm-hmm. I ended up graduating MIT without any job offer. But by then, I knew I at least wanted to go into 3D printing. And, you know, that hurt. It hurt a lot. But because of that failure process, I grew a lot. And I found out that my desire to get this job out there, you know, in the Bay Area, to get a lot of pay, to do this engineering, wasn't so much from me, from what I wanted to do, but so much the expectation that I thought people had for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from IT, obviously I should have a job by the time I graduate.
Right.
I come from IT, obviously I should be out there making the big bucks. And that's just not how it happened. And I'm so glad for where I work right now. I get to love what I do. I make 3D printing resins. I've made the new gray resin we have out there. It's doing wonderful. It's great.
Awesome.
I really get to do engineering every day. And if I hadn't gone through that process of really forcibly stripping me of these desires that really weren't mine, but were expectations I thought other people had of me, it wouldn't have come out like that.
That's like so refreshing to hear, because when I found out, I like got in touch with you after quite a while after we graduated and found out that you were working at Formlabs, I was like, that's amazing. Like right after graduation, he got this incredible job, and look at him making resin that I remember an article came out or a picture had come across that you had put together this material. And I was like, he's doing so well. But like every story has a sort of more complicated aspect, or what appears to be a success to the rest of the world is maybe a little bit more of a trying point or a trying time for another person. So it's always very interesting to hear these stories.
It is.
Plus, I won't be looking for a job for another like 5 years. So good to get this advice now.
Good luck.
A fun question that I love to ask this to people, because I always hear all sorts of interesting things. If someone wrote if you wrote your autobiography, and if the final pages ended with a favorite quote, a favorite dialogue from a movie, a favorite line from a song, or even a favorite scene from another book, what do you think it would be? It's a tough one.
Yeah. I think I would stick with my dad's Será una aventura.
Yeah?
In Spanish. You know, italicized. And then, of course, with the translation next to it.
Yep.
Just because it rings so true to the way I try to live. And the way I try to, like, explain, interact with people and things like that. Just looking at the positive side.
Yeah.
And remembering that things, life, you know, all these things are journeys, right?
Yeah. Actually, that choice of quote brings me to something that I wanted to ask as well, which is having grown up with a culture that's Peruvian, but lived here in the U.S. pretty much your entire life and been here at MIT, is it sort of challenging to balance two cultures? And are there positives and negatives of that? And what has that meant to you growing up?
Oh, it's meant the world.
Yeah.
It's meant everything. So the interesting part of, basically, like you said, being raised in the United States, being born in Peru, still knowing Spanish has been like, you know, where do I draw the line? Am I American? Am I Peruvian? Am I Peruvian American? Am I American Peruvian? Gosh.
I know. I struggle with this.
Yeah. I find that I always learn the most about who I am whenever I travel abroad. And I'm not talking about like tourism. I'm talking about, you know, like the month you and I spent in South Africa.
Yeah.
Or I spent like a month and a half traveling Asia with SETI, and then another 2 months in Taiwan learning Mandarin. And that was so cool.
Wow.
And it's always those instances where you end up meeting people, chatting about life, where you're like, oh, okay. So I found out personally that I'm very American in my ambitions.
Interesting.
And my like individualism. Mm-hmm. Being like, yeah, I want to make cool new inventions. I want to make cool new 3D printing things. I'm very Peruvian in my sense of family. In my affection, I'm a hugger. I'm a big hugger. Yeah. So these are the very interesting parts of me that I get to learn about myself. And I think when I was younger, it was a little more frustrating. It's like, oh gosh, what am I? And now that I'm, you know, a little bit older, you know, I'm not crazy old or anything, but
right.
as I'm still on this journey, it's just fun, you know? It's part of what defines me. It's part of what always makes it interesting. Ooh, and another layer to what you're saying, actually, mm-hmm. is, so if you were to look at me, though, you wouldn't know I was Peruvian. You would actually think I'm Indian. So
really?
I look super Indian. I get it all the time. It's actually pretty awesome. That's nice. Also a super interesting layer.
I'll take pride in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a nice conundrum of like, oh gosh, what am I? It's cool.
That's awesome. So I want to hear a little bit more about this tour of Asia and the China trip. I didn't really know about this. So you speak fluent Spanish and obviously English, and then you decided to pick up a third language. So how did that happen, and why'd you make that trip?
Well, it's funny. I ended up going through SETI originally because my ex suggested it to me, and she was Taiwanese, and I was like, well, okay.
So what is SETI?
Just so SETI, Chinese Education Teaching Initiative.
Okay.
Yes, there we go. So basically, you end up going through, it's like a 7-week program, 8-week program, and you get to go to like two or different schools. They can be high schools, they can be college towns, and things like, colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And you can teach there. You can teach like, you know, a little bit of material science, a little bit of whatever you do in your major here at MIT, and then just a little bit of English, a little bit of American culture, and just, it's a wonderful experience. So that's what got me introduced to it. And after that, I was like, wow, there's just a world of people out there that I don't know how to communicate with.
Right.
And I thought I knew how to communicate with a lot of people because I was fluent in English and Spanish. But it just opened my eyes. So after that, I started taking Chinese at MIT here. And my senior spring, I had the chance to take accelerated Chinese, and it was so much fun. We were doing 2 hours of Chinese a day.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so good. It was so good. And by Chinese, I mean Mandarin.
Right.
And so after that, I was like, I want to keep going, you know, while I still have time. So that's why I ended up going to Taiwan for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
down to the Tainan area, which is southern Taiwan, very hot, but pretty amazing, the people you meet there. And just the chance to really study a language in a country that speaks it. It's marvelous.
Yeah, the amazing part of that sort of opportunity is like learning is not just restricted to the classroom. The moment you step out, the moment you try to order food, ask for directions, it's all a stage to practice on. So that entire immersive experience, I would imagine, is amazing. Something I would love to do at some point, but on my bucket list, on my wish list.
One day.
Here's a question. So what's one moment, if you could name one, that you know that you would cherish for the rest of your life? It could be an interaction with someone, something you saw, or somewhere you've been.
I think it would be, and it's hard to say because I don't exactly remember this moment, but we have this picture in my house, mm-hmm. of my mom and my dad, and, you know, we're all in our Sunday clothes because it's right after church, mm-hmm. and us four kids, because I have an older sister, me, younger sister, younger brother. And my younger brother's a baby. So my mom's just holding him, swaddling him.
Aww.
And we're in front of this brick building, and I don't remember. We just have the photo, but I know that this picture was taken within a year of us first landing to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow. So much of my life was defined around that time.
Yeah.
So I have this mental image of the picture and just the stories you hear, the people I remember, my parents meeting. I'm always going to remember that just because it shaped so much of my life.
Do you remember having that picture taken, or do you just remember
not
seeing
at all.
It? Yeah.
Not at all. But I remember the stories I've heard from that picture, and I still hear stories from that picture and keep discovering more and more of what it was like to make that transition, you know, understand better and better as I grow for what it means to move to another country.
Yeah. So how do you sort of go about that process? Do you often sit down with your parents and ask them, what made you guys want to move here? What were the challenges? And why are you thankful that we've settled here? Do you sort of have those conversations with them?
Yeah, when I can. I didn't when I was younger because I didn't appreciate it as much.
Yeah.
My dad also tends to not talk about the past.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he doesn't want to, but he's just like, the past is the past.
Yeah. There's a new adventure ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
And also on the theme of the picture, maybe, one thing I like to ask everyone is, if you could just name a handful of things, what are you most grateful for, looking back on your life right now?
Ooh. Hmm. Well, obviously by now I keep talking about the move, right? So that's one thing I'm very grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for the positive attitude and the viewing failure as growing,
mm-hmm.
that I've been given from when I was younger and then I still try to maintain. Gosh, there's just so many wonderful things to be grateful for.
Yeah, you can keep them going.
Okay. This is still going. I'm grateful that I got to meet so many people worldwide.
Yeah.
Just getting to see the different lifestyles, you know, while I was traveling Asia, South Africa with you. I'm here in Peru and all that stuff. I'm grateful for my siblings. Like I said, I have three of them, and we love to hang out with each other. We fight incessantly, but that's kind of
that's what
part of how
do.
We interact. Yeah. Yeah. And, I don't know. I'm just grateful for another day.
Yeah. I'm grateful that you're here sharing all of this with all of us.
Oh, thank you.
So we are, unfortunately, almost hitting the hour. So I'm going to start to wrap up by asking you, if you could give a version of your advice to a little version of JJ, like
Ooh.
Maybe the JJ that just got off the plane, just got to the States, or was starting grade school, What do you think you would tell him and effectively all of the other maybe younger people that might be looking for your advice and look up to you given all that you've accomplished?
I think I would tell myself that there's a world out there to see. And not just physically, like, but knowledge-wise, experience-wise, there's so many things out there to do that it's going to be okay if you know, fail here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the act of going out and trying, the act of being willing to do it again, that's what makes someone special, and that's what makes life so unique and valuable. I think that's what I would tell myself.
Wow. that's pretty incredible. Is that something you sort of actively think about every day, or just that kind of just fell out of your mouth today, really that eloquently?
I take time to mentor people. So
really? Can
yeah.
you tell us a little bit about that? Last few minutes?
Yeah, sure. So every now and then I hang out with Course 3 undergrads, SUMS,
okay.
and I go on like their alumni panel, or I go out of my way to whenever a salesperson at Formlabs comes and
yeah.
asks me about resins, I'm willing to sit down with them for an hour and like go through the whole chemistries. When I meet a stranger and they talk about something awesome, I'm like, hey, can you tell me more about that and just share
yeah.
life stories? It's, yeah. So I guess I sometimes get asked for advice a lot, and I ask for advice all the time.
Yeah. I think both that giving and taking is such an important part, being able to ask when you need help and also be able to share your time freely.
Definitely.
Given that so many people look up to you, having, you know, come through this incredible path, this journey, graduated MIT, got an incredible job, and just for the person, the amazing person that you are. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you so much, JJ, for being on the show today. It really meant a lot to me, and I hope everyone else enjoyed it as well. So that's it for this week's episode, folks. Next time, we'll have another person, another inspiring outlook on life, and yet another post-it note to add to our wall. So until then, look a little harder, dig a little deeper, and search for the story underneath. And who knows, you might just be surprised. This is Aishwarya, signing off from WMBR Cambridge. Good night. You are holding you down now. Future. Like if they did that to you. What if it was your brother, sister, mother, father, child? And would it still be cool? Yeah. Can't you see it's all hurting? Everybody deserves to be themselves, and no one else will think before you move.
At 8 p.m., this is Slow and Unsteady on WMBR Cambridge. Here's Julia Holter.
Strange birds fly.